As we go to his mighty throne of grace and mercy, please bow with me. Our most gracious, wise, righteous Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we come to you this evening as humble as we know how, Lord, to thank you for the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon us from our earliest existence to this present moment in time. Lord, you have been so good to us. Even though we are undeserving, you love us so much that you are always there for us, Lord, to be with us when we fall short and repent the sins that we've committed, Father, and you're so gracious and loving to forgive us. Lord, we thank you so much, for without you we would be nothing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving your only begotten Son who came to the sin-cursed earth where he suffered, bled, and died for the sins of all mankind so that we may have life eternal if we are obedient to your holy and blessed command. Father, please forgive me of the sins I've committed since the last time I approached your throne of grace. I repent of my sins, Father, and pray for forgiveness that this prayer will in no way be hindered. Dear Lord, I pray for the world. There is so much going on in the world and so much going on in our country, senseless shootings, killings of our babies, just from random shootings. Heavenly Father, I pray that these people will remember that they're hurting others for no reason and that they will change their minds and turn away from this life that they're living and come to you, Father. Lord, I pray for all those that don't know you. Pray that someone will be able to reach with them and study your word with them, that they may ask the question of what must I do to be saved, and that they will obey the gospel before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Lord, I pray for all of the sick and the shut-in, and I pray for all the bereaved. Pray that you will give them the strength that they need as they grieve the loss of their loved ones. Father, be with all of the churches of Christ all around the world. And I pray that the leadership leads in such a way that they're doing things according to your will and your way, Lord. Father, bless all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And bless them with the things that you see that they stand in need of. Strengthen us all, Lord. Help us, Father, to be what you would have us to be. And, Father, I pray for each one that is on the call right now. Be with them and their family members. Give them the strength in your word, Lord. And I pray that they will be attentive to the lesson that will be presented to us tonight by our dear sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins. Heavenly Father, please be with her and help her to remember the things that she has studied in your word, that she will present it to us and that we all are able to understand and learn and share it with others. Lord, be with her and her family as well. Bless them all. Help them all in the ways that you see that they stand in need, Father. Lord, we thank you so much for all of the sisters of Lady Prayer Warriors. Give us the strength to carry on through this sisterhood, that we show love toward one another and do things to share your word with those that we come in contact with, Lord, even those that are in the body. because we all sometimes we fall short, Lord, and we need to be uplifted, to be edified. We need to have someone to show love to us, someone to listen to us in our times of our trials and tribulations. Lord, we need so much, but I know that you know what these things are. But I just want you to know, Lord, that we love you. We adore you. And please be with us. Be with all on the program. And so thankful for those that have stepped up to do things to make the program possible. Thank you, Father, for all that you do, all of the blessings and favors that you do for us on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And Father, I offer this prayer. I ask all the blessings and favors in the name of your darling Son, Jesus the Christ. May we all say amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Green, for approaching the Holy Throne of Grace on our behalf. And now we will have scripture done by Sister Diane DeGraffery. Sister Diane DeGraffery? Now we will have scripture by Sister Diane DeGraffery. Can y'all hear me?
Are you able to hear me?
Now we can hear you, sis.
Okay, I'm sorry. I will be reading scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 13, English Standard Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at this revelation of Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of all of his holy and divine words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Diane DeGraffery, for reading the scripture. Now we will have a song of praise by Sister Lottie Holcomb.
Thank you, Sister Lisa. Troubles in my way, I have to cry sometimes. There's so much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all right, because I know that Jesus, he will fix it after a while. Troubles in my home, I have to cry sometimes. It's so much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all right, because I know that Jesus, he will fix it after a while. Troubles in the church, I have to cry sometimes. It's so much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all right, because I know that Jesus, he will fix it after a while. Well, he stepped in the furnace, it was a long time ago, with Shadrach and Meshach, Abednego. Well, they wouldn't worry, and this I know, because I know that Jesus, he will fix it after a while. Troubles in my way, I have to cry sometimes. It's so much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all right, because I know that Jesus, he will fix it after a while. Thank you.
I had to go on mute, sis, because I was over here singing with you. Yes, he will. He will fix it after a while. Thank you, Sister Lottie, for singing that beautiful song. And now we will have an introduction to our speaker by Sister Favine Mill.
Good evening, my sisters. Our speaker for tonight is Sister Dorothy Ruth Jenkins. She is one of our administrators for Lady Prayer Warriors CLC. She's no stranger to our Friday Night Bible series, having spoken on several topics. Sister Jenkins is a retired educator. She taught in Georgia Public School for 33 years. She is a dedicated member of the Renaissance Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia, where she serves on the Garden Ministry, working with new converts. Sister Dorothy also sings with the Golden Voices of Renaissance and has been with the chorus for more than 35 years. She is married to Brother Johnny Jenkins for 49 years, and she has two adult children, a daughter, Callie, and a son, Calvin. She has two grandchildren, grandson Amir, 17, and granddaughter Ryan, 10. Sister Jenkins' favorite scripture is Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It is my pleasure and honor to introduce to some and present to others our speaker for tonight, Sister Dorothy Ruth Jenkins. Thank you.
Sisters, have you ever gotten comfortable in your life? Things are so good. Children all grown up and doing okay. Husband finally got his act together. Lord knows you have been praying, and then you forget for a quick moment who is doing the blessing. You slow down with talking to God. He doesn't hear from you. You withdraw and go into yourself, thinking that good things happen because you are a good person. You literally tear the doors down walking into the church house every Sunday. You don't even take the time or stop to observe others around you, that their lives are all in shambles. You squinch at the thought of having to sing one more time, "Trouble in My Way." I have to cry sometime. So much trouble. You pick up on the repetition singing only, "Jesus will fix it. Jesus will fix it." But you hate the after a while. You think, "Lord, how long?" Have you ever uttered the words, "I need to pray more," or "I got to pray harder"? Things started to go haywire. One heated situation after another, then another. You find yourself trying to handle things to the point of extreme exhaustion. Your entire being is breaking down. First your physical, then your mental and emotional, even your spiritual. To deal with your physical, you began to eat. Your mental, you blame others. Your emotion, you shut others out. And your spiritual, you cut off the source of all life. You forget God. You are breaking down under extreme heat exhaustion. You have forgotten where your strength comes from. Good evening, sisters. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am delighted to have this opportunity once again to present a lesson from God's holy and divine word. I'm appreciative to our administration for giving me the opportunity to be a speaker on this month of June Friday night Bible series, in which we have entitled, "Let's Beat the Heat." I would be remiss if I didn't say thanks to all of our program participants, our most gracious host, Sister Lisa McIntyre, Sister Deborah Green for our opening prayer, Sister Diane DeGraffery for the scripture reading, Sister Lottie Hogan for that beautiful song praise, Sister Vivian Mills for that wonderful, wonderful introduction, and we want to thank Sister Angela Hunter in advance, who will do our closing prayer. Sisters, if you have your copy of God's Word, please come with me to our scriptural text, found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 13. I will be reading from the English Standard Version to lay the foundation for our lesson. And the scripture reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of his might, being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that they have now announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thus goes the reading of God's holy and divine word. Sisters, what a most fitting theme for the month of June 2021, Let's Beat the Heat. The theme, Let's Beat the Heat, is so timely appropriate and is needed because it suggests that something is coming and we need to be prepared. The word beat here metaphorically means to evade or to escape, to leave or to flee, finding a level in our Christianity to avoid the heat that is so prevalent in our daily lives. When we talk about heat or something being heated, we may feel uncomfortable because no one wants to feel the sensation of feeling like we are going to actually burn up. Or there's that feeling that we need to get up out of here and go somewhere that is cool, away from the heat. In every Christian's life, we will be faced with unavoidable heat. And because of the heat, we find ourselves being spiritually victimized, being consumed by an overshadowing heat wave that may be causing us mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual exhaustion. Just doing life, juggling responsibility, and carrying constant pressure of stress day in and day out are all receptacles for a demise. All of a sudden, we find ourselves beginning to crumble. And as the pieces fall, so do we. And we're not even sure what happened and how we got there. But sisters, we can have hope, and we can resolve to let's beat the heat. To address our theme, let's beat the heat, I would like to speak from the topic, avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. This lesson purports to explore various ways, strategies, and practices to help us when we feel our backs are against the wall, having to face insurmountable trials, temptations, tribulations, loss, change, and hopelessness that send us spiraling in a whirlwind of doubt, faithlessness, and uncertainties to beat the heat. We ask ourselves, how do we prepare to beat the heat of spiritual exhaustion? Rather than sitting back and waiting for spiritual heat exhaustion to attack and invade us, let's resolve to beat the heat by moving forward. I want to begin this lesson by shedding some light on the New Testament book of 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter focused in on the importance of Christians bearing up under unjust and unforeseen suffering, because this is one of the greatest problems that grips the heart of Christians today. We struggle with frustration, anger, and uncertainty when trials that are strange and unexpected land on our doorstep. Too often in these most difficult moments of our lives, confusion reigns while contentment decreases. Questions arise while prayer subsides. How do we beat the heat when it comes? Most of us, sisters, crumble at the mere thought of another pain or loss, while others rise to the occasion. Some of us probably are somewhere in the middle. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 13, encouraged perseverance in faith. You see, my dear sisters, it is not just enough for us to simply get up in the morning and just make our way through the day, putting a smile on our face while ignoring the heat that comes in and out of our lives. Peter wants us to know that there is indeed a word from the Lord. He wants us to push, prepare, and be on the lookout for the heat because it is coming. He admonishes us to push through and to recognize that he is only a temporary presence in our lives while we walk in holiness and hope as people of faith. Now let's define what is meant by the term spiritual heat exhaustion. Spiritual heat exhaustion is a unique term because it can apply in a variety of situations and it can affect both Christians as well as non-Christians. Spiritual heat exhaustion can result from a feeling of how we see ourselves, or it can be about what we are pursuing. spiritual heat exhaustion is generally considered a state of spiritual pressure to invest energy to the body, physical, emotional, mind, and soul spiritual, beyond what only the human body can do in and of itself. We are not just a body. We are a trichotomy being with three distinct components. We are a body, a spirit, and a soul. All three must work together. If we don't find constructive, healthy ways to cope, our bodies and mind will eventually start showing signs of spiritual heat exhaustion, whether we admit it or not. The influence of spiritual heat exhaustion can be subtle, and other times it can be obvious. Because of its destructive nature, it is critical to know what the Bible has to say about spiritual heat exhaustion. For our consideration on tonight, I would like to introduce four main focal points from which we will hinge our lesson as we look at avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Focal point number one, preparing our spirit before the heat comes by number one, knowing the truth of God's word. Number two, walking in God's peace. Number three, exercising faith. And number four, guarding our hearts and minds through the peace of God. Focal point number two, recognizing signs of spiritual heat exhaustion. Number one, feeling depressed. Number two, feeling hopeless. Number three, a spiritual disconnection. God has abandoned me. And number four, having spiritual doubt. I can't believe in God if this terrible thing could happen. Focal point number three, exploring seven practices that we must engage ourselves to win against spiritual heat exhaustion. Number one, we must have the right view or perspective. Number two, we must have the right resolve. Number three, we must have the right speech. Number four, we must have the right conduct. Number five, we must have the right livelihood. Number six, we must have the right effort. And number seven, we must have the right mindfulness. Focal point number four, meeting the challenge head on by number one, prayer. Listening and talking to God is powerful in heading off strongholds. Number two, spend time in God's library, the Bible, studying and applying His word. Sisters, the library will always have the air condition on to keep our body, mind, and soul at peace. And number three, stop procrastinating. The moment we remember that God is there in our heat will help us to beat the heat. Sisters, are you ready to let's beat the heat? Now let us begin. But before we actually launch our lesson, I want to begin with the lyrics of a song that speaks to me in a powerful way. The song says, "Thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way. In that way, I can grow each day as I let you lead. And thank you, Lord, for patience those trials bring. In the process of growing, I can learn to care, but it goes against the way I am to put my human nature down and let the spirit take control of all I do. Because when those trials come, my human nature shouts the things to do, and God's soft prompting can be easily ignored. I thank you, Lord, with each trial I feel inside that you are there to help, lead and guide me away from wrong. Because you promised, Lord, that with every testing, that your way of escaping is easier to bear. I thank you, Lord, for the victory that growing brings in surrender of everything. Life is so worthwhile. And I thank you, Lord, that when everything's put in place, I can see your face, and it's there you belong. Avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Focal point number one, preparing our spirit before the heat comes. Sisters, this is vitally important because preparation can be learned, and the advantage of preparation is that we can manage problems more quickly and more efficiently because we will already have the solutions at hand and be ready to act. David recognized the importance of being prepared and staying ready. He says in Psalms 119, verses 11 through 13, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. David asked the Lord in verse 12, teach me your statutes. Verse 13, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Again, the question is raised, what is the importance of being prepared when the heat comes? Now, let's go forward. Let's examine closely four ways in which we can prepare our spirit before the heat comes. Number one, we may prepare our spirit before the heat comes by knowing the truth of God's word. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verse 12, the Bible tells us, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intention of the heart. Sisters, when we read the Bible, it should be about more than just finding something that impacts our lives. It's about knowing God intimately and entering in conversation with him. The Hebrew writer shares with us four truths about God's word. He tells us, number one, God's word is alive and is not antiquated or irrelevant. Number two, God's word is active. Number three, God's word is revealing. And number four, God's word is life-giving. Sisters, God is very much alive and at work in our lives through his word. It is one of the ways God invites us into a relationship with himself. Through the work of his spirit, he enables us to hear and understand what he has to say. And God's word reveals the God who is alive and who desires to be known. His word reveals what's inside of us so that he can heal, redeem, and restore. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Number two, we may prepare our spirit before the heat comes by walking in peace. It was Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, made a declaration of peace. He made it personal when he looked at his disciples and said, peace be to you. Peace is who God is. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace allows us to sleep through the storms or sing when we are beaten down. Having peace helps us to beat the heat of spiritual exhaustion. It will allow us to get through the worst, yet it will also allow us to keep hoping for the best. Sisters, anytime God allows trials to come into our lives, he has a purpose for them. He wants us to squeeze out every ounce of spiritual strength instead of letting difficulty force us into despair and discouragement. Sisters, if we'll just respond in the right manner, the trial that looks as if it could destroy us will become an instrument of blessing, James 1, 2 through 4. There's a story we read about over in the book of Judges, found in chapter 6, verses 23 through 24, which gives an account of Gideon going into battle. And he doubted, saying to the angel of the Lord, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where is all his wonder that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. Gideon's terror started to turn into joy. On that day of battle, God's divine message spoke to Gideon's deepest need, and it speaks to us today. Gideon realized that peace isn't something we get, but it is rather someone we know, the Lord himself. Number three, we may prepare our spirit before the heat comes by exercising faith. God has given every one of us a measure of faith. This faith needs to be used and exercised daily in order for us to grow strong in our dependence upon Him. When we share our testimonies or miracles with others, it causes us to speak life and to testify of God's goodness. And finally, number four, we may prepare our spirit before the heat comes by guarding our hearts and minds through the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Sisters, we should give it over to God and allow Him to handle whatever the problem is, and He will truly fix it. Avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Focal point number two, recognizing signs of spiritual heat exhaustion. Number one, feeling depressed. Number two, feeling hopeless. Number three, a spiritual disconnection. God has abandoned me. And number four, having spiritual doubt. I can't believe in God if this terrible thing could happen. How do we deal with those feelings that come when spiritual heat exhaustion comes upon us? Let's observe in our text, verses 3 through 7. In verse 3, Peter tells us His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. There it is, sisters. We don't have to despair or feel hopeless. In verse 4, Peter goes on to say, we have an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. In verse 5, Peter says, we are protected by the power of God through faith. Verse 6, he tells us we should rejoice, although we are being distressed by various trials. And in verse number 7, Peter sums it all up by saying, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is imperishable, even though tested by fire. First Peter is one of the books of the Bible that gives us hope in the midst of our suffering. From the time of Abraham, God's people were misunderstood, and they were like in the minority and was expected to face hostility because they lived under the authority of Jesus. We, like the apostles, also chosen by God when we become Christians. We are a gift, and we are in a unique position because it offers us the chance to show others the generosity and love of Jesus, which is fueled by the hope of His return and victory over evil. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Focal point number 3. Exploring 7 practices that we must engage ourselves to win against spiritual heat exhaustion. To introduce this focal point, let's look to Paul's frame of reference to help us beat the heat and avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Paul describes the relationship between Christians and the law of Moses and between the law of human sinfulness. In verse 22 through 23, the Apostle Paul talks about his life before becoming a Christian. He expresses his delight in God's law, yet he finds himself captive to the law of sin. Paul recognizes that the law shows us no matter how good our intentions, we still end up in sin and in need of the deliverance available through the faith in Jesus. This leads us to focus on what is needed in avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. There's a lot of confusion among Christians how we're supposed to deal with suffering. Some say if we suffer, it's because we lack faith. Some say we're supposed to claim healing by faith and deny all negative thoughts. Sisters, this is clearly unbiblical, yet it persists. Others are saying that Christians must go through suffering, but they're supposed to do it with a smile on their face. Let's see what God's word have to say in our text that will help us to get our lives together. Practice number one, we must have the right view. Paul says, be obedient, children, and do not conform to the passion of your former ignorance. What is the apostle saying to us? He is saying, in the light of God's grace, we are his children. Our true home is with him in heaven, and we should be intentional about setting our hope on the day Jesus will return. Peter says we must stop doing what comes naturally. In other words, Peter reminds us that as Christians, we have a before and an after. There was a time before we trusted in Christ when we did not know the truth. We did not understand. We lived in ignorance of what was real or what mattered. And so we followed our own desires instead of God's desire for us. Now that we are in Christ, in our after, Peter calls us to have the right view, one that conforms to a new pattern. We must mentally engage ourselves in setting all of our hope in God's future grace for us. Practice number two, we must have the right resolve. The Apostle Peter opens our text in verse 3 with the words of praise for God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, reminding us that salvation is a gift of God's mercy, a living hope. We must resolve to have hope because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. All power is now in his hand, and no matter what storms, strong winds that come our way, we will have the right resolve, one of hope, not wishful thinking, but an eager, confident expectation. Practice number three, we must have the right speech. When we have gone through repeated trials, Peter says in verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our lips praise him in the storm. We tell him we love and trust him with our lives. The right speech of praise fills us with love, strength, and comfort. So therefore, in avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion, we honor him in our speech, even though life can be very painful. Number four, we must have the right conduct. Sisters, we are called to a higher standard of conduct. Verse 15 says, but as who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. Verse 16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Sisters, we have the status of being children of God. Therefore, we must conduct ourselves in a way that we do not abuse God's authority, which governs our lives. Number five, we must have the right livelihood. We are challenged as obedient children to do not conform to the passions of ignorance, going about doing our own thing. Number six, we must have the right effort. Peter says, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another honestly from a pure heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Number seven, we must have the right mindfulness. So what does all of this mean? In verse 13 of our text, Peter tells us what it means to set or fix our hope on something. It's a question of what we will do to protect ourselves. Verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. One of my favorite song praise is, I Will Call Upon the Lord, written by Michael O'Shields. The lyrics of this song goes like this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Sometimes, sisters, all it takes to get us ready is praise on our lips and a song in our heart to help us beat the heat, therefore avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Let's observe our fourth and final focal point. Focal point number four, meeting the challenge head on. Number one, prayer. Listening and talking to God is powerful in heading off strongholds, those thoughts and collection of ideas established by Satan to cause us to resist what the Bible says about us and about God. James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, and he will lift you up. We should be honest when we come before God and humbly let the Spirit expose the strongholds in darkness when we pray. Psalm 26, 2, prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. When the Holy Spirit shows us an area of darkness, sisters, we need to repent and make it right before God. Sisters, if you want to meet the challenge of avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion head on, we will make prayer a priority, a daily and throughout the day activity where we quiet our spirits and enter into communication with God, talking and listening to him. He is the only one who can give us strength and comfort when we need it. He forgives our sin and wipes our slate clean. His steadfast love never ceases. Mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, Lamentations 3 and 22. And finally, spend time in God's library, the Bible, studying and applying his word. Sisters, the library will always have the air conditioning running to keep our body, mind, and soul at peace. God has assured us that this part of his library was created before he established the world. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119, verse 89. Sisters, as I prepare to end my lesson, I pray that I've said something in the context of my lesson that will be beneficial and profitable to our soul's salvation. I would like to end my lesson with the lyrics of another song. The title of this song is God is Good, written by Jonathan McReynolds, and it goes like this. May your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your troubles show that you need God, and may your battles end the way they should, and may your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross. And may your troubles show that you need God. And may your battles end the way they should. And may your bad day prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good, avoiding spiritual heat exhaustion. Thank you, sisters.
Oh, Sister Dorothy, I was over here shouting. You did that, all that spiritual food. Thank you so much. Thank God for you. Now we will have our closing prayer by Sister Angela Hunter.
Let us pray. Almighty and most holy Father, thank you. Thank you for yet another day. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer and King. Thank you, Father God, for all your many blessings. We pray, dear God, that as we have listened to the encouraging lesson brought to us tonight by our dear Sister Dorothy, that each and every one would have been spiritually uplifted and blessed. Help us, dear Lord, to make the necessary application as we try to beat the heat by being prepared. And where we fall short, dear God, give us the wisdom and the understanding to get it right. Continue, dear God, I pray, to bless all the program participants. Bless Sister Dorothy with your grace and mercy, that she might continue to bring more lessons like this to our hearing. Please bless and strengthen and keep in your care all the Lady Prayer Warriors administrators. May they continue the good work that you have set before them. We pray for all Lady Prayer Warriors. We beg your healing upon all those who are sick, dear God. Please comfort those who mourn. We ask a special blessing on all the plans and the upcoming events that are in the making, dear God, and that everything we say and do will bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you again. Please forgive us of all our sins. These and many more mercies we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Angela Hunter, for your closing prayer.